So great to have you with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Larry Mueller here. I want to just say this once more. I said it the other day, but I want to give a big thanks for everybody who contributed and made our fall membership drive such a success. Together, we raised more than $1 million. I think it was $1,040,000 from about 10,000 members to help pay for WPR programs. And we also welcome more than 2,000 new WPR members. So thank you so much for supporting Wisconsin Public Radio. We really, really appreciate all that you do. And I appreciate what goes on in the area of youth development and 4-H as well. And we're going to be talking with you about that. This month is an opportunity to connect with the 4-H community in Wisconsin and across the nation. Maybe you don't realize it, but there are, I think, around 50,000 young people currently enrolled in 4-H clubs right here in Wisconsin. And we're going to talk about that with Jessica Jens. Jessica, hi. Thanks for taking time to be with us today.
Hi, Larry. How are you doing?
I'm doing just fine. Jessica is the newly appointed director of Upham Woods and former Sauk County 4-H'er. With us as well, Katrina Putman of Columbia County. She's an alumnus of 4-H. Katrina, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
Appreciate it very much. And Sally Turpin is an alumnus of Vernon County 4-H.
Thanks for having me, too.
Appreciate it, all three of you, for being with us today to talk about 4-H and talk about what's going on in Upham Woods. That's, you know, and I should also say, and I've mentioned this in the past on the show, I was in 4-H from the time I was I could first join. I think, what was the age? Was it six?
Usually third grade, but we also have clover buds in kindergarten.
I think
so.
I started pretty young, I remember, and then I graduated, I think, when I turned 18.
Yep.
So I was in 4-H a long, long time and got a lot out of it. So what is it about 4-H that's so contagious? Go ahead,
I would
Katrina.
Say there's so many opportunities for kids to get involved. I mean, there are so many different areas that kids can join in 4-H, and it's really just a fun experience that I think it really catches on to a lot of kids, because there's a lot of opportunities to make new friends and study things like photography or animals, and it's just a really good experience for kids.
Yeah, and Sally, you agree with that?
I'd agree with that, and I'd also say that there's for an opportunity for some of the older kids to do some traveling. I mean, I went to Washington, D.C. for 4-H, and that was pretty cool. So
yeah, and even in the state, I can remember every year when 4-H Congress comes to Madison, the state Congress, I usually do a workshop on radio with a group of youngsters, and we always have a great time. We produce little spots and radio ads promoting June Dairy Month and so forth. It's always a lot of fun.
It sure is. Yeah.
And so kids from northern Wisconsin or from wherever in the state can come and have a good time right here in the state. Well, Jessica, how'd you wind up at Upham Woods?
Oh, that's a great question, Larry. Upham Woods, I started there when I was a counselor in 4-H. I was in Sheboygan County and had a wonderful experience being a 4-H camp counselor. Decided that maybe that's something I'd like to do in my life, that I'd like to be part of camp. And I came back from doing my graduate studies in Colorado and started as the environmental education specialist at Upham Woods. Decided to try to be a 4-H agent like my mentor, Tim Tallon. Many people know him from Sheboygan County. And moved over to Sauk County 4-H. Had a great time. Actually, Katrina was one of the camp counselors with
yes,
me
I was.
When I was as a Sauk County 4-H agent. And served as the interim director for a couple years. And now I've just began my appointment as the director of Upham Woods Outdoor Learning Center. And it's such a special place. And we've been... learning so much about the history from people's stories, and are really prepared to take Upham Woods into the future with the next generation.
You know, there are people, I'm sure quite a few people listening who say, where the heck is Upham Woods? What the heck's that all about? Maybe you could give us a little of that background.
Oh, definitely. So Upham Woods Outdoor Learning Center, we started as a gift from the Upham sisters in 1941. So they really wanted to protect the land that they grew up visiting as small children and camping with their parents. It's a beautiful piece of property. It's in Wisconsin Dells. Wow. It's on the upper Dells, mm-hmm. and sandstone cliffs. We have very beautiful. We have 108 acres on the mainland and 210 on Black Hawk Island, which is a state natural area. And many people may have heard of that location as well. And Ranger Mac, which was mm-hmm. Wakelin McNeil, was the first director of Upham Woods and the state 4-H program leader at that time. And he started the legacy of Upham Woods after the donation. And because of dimes the 4-H'ers raised and donations from businesses, now there's 17 buildings. We have school groups who come in throughout the year to do residential environmental education programs with us. Lots of schools from all over Wisconsin. And then in the summertime, we have 27 counties that have their 4-H camps at Upham Woods. And that's where the counselors come into play and learn valuable life skills serving in that role. And then the younger members are the campers, and they explore. They go down to the river, and we have a wacky water critters class where they look for water bugs. Upham Woods staff dresses as a French voyager, mm-hmm. and does living history programs. We go over to Black Hawk Island, and we paddle this barge, which is two World War II kind of like rowboat things that have been attached together and fiberglass, and they sometimes they spin in circles in the river, but they paddle that. I can fit 40 people over to the island. They sleep up in the cabins or in our dorm. It's a really special place that a lot of groups use. We have about 8,000 people a year who come to Upham Woods, and it seems wherever I go, I meet somebody who says, I was at Upham Woods when I was a 4-H camper or when I was in school. So it's a special place.
And as a matter of fact, Jeff from Baraboo's online with us right now. Jeff, comment from you?
Hi, Larry and guests. I did not have the advantage of being in 4-H as a kid, and I've been very sorry for that, but I'm trying to make up for it as an adult. I'm a 4-H leader, and I got to tell you, some of the best times of my life have been spent at Upham Woods. From sleeping in sleeping in a cold cabin, making sure the kids are all good on a brisk fall night, I've been to a whole bunch of workshops there. Jessica can probably tell you about all the different workshops that happen at Upham Woods. It's a great facility. If anybody needs a facility to hold any kind of meeting or workshop, one of the things that I've always thought about when I go there is the place is just wonderful, but there are things that need to be done and to be repaired and updated and stuff. How can we go about helping support Upham Woods? Is there a volunteers organization or anything like that?
All right. Well, Jeff, thanks for calling. I guess I'll turn back to Jessica for a comment.
Okay, yeah, we definitely have volunteers who come in. We have volunteer work days. We have school groups who do volunteer projects for us. We actually just launched a new website that tells how you can support Upham Woods and a little bit more about it. It's Upham Woods is part of UW Cooperative Extension, so it's one of their new blogs. It's fyi.uwex.edu/UphamWoods. And it has all different ways that you can find out how to be part of the legacy of Upham Woods, including our a new legacy campaign that we're kicking off this month.
So it's fyi.uwex.edu/UphamWoods, and Upham is UPHAM.
Yes.
Upham.
Yep, all one word, Upham Woods. And if it wasn't for people like Jeff who come and help us out, and lots of them who have been camp counselors come back as well, and that's great.
Thanks, Jeff. Thank you for calling. You might want to join in, too, with your own questions or comments or maybe your own experiences with Upham Woods or with 4-H. We'd love to hear from you. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234. It's 1-800-642-1234. Or email us at talk@WPR.org, talk@WPR.org. Just a little background history. 4-H got started. When did 4-H get started? I'm trying to remember.
4-H is over 100 years old,
yeah, it's
right
over
now.
100.
So 1902, I believe. There's a little bit of debate on the start date, but it was around 1902. It was pretty close.
Yeah, and it was started. It's always been associated with extension, cooperative extension.
Yes, it has. It actually started out as corn clubs for boys and canning clubs for girls, and so they learned about how to grow better corn and get more produce out of their crops and how to safely do canning. And it's just grown from there. Now, of course, we have boys and girls together in 4-H clubs all over Wisconsin, all over the nation and all over the world as well.
Well, 50,000 is a pretty good number. I was surprised that I thought, boy, that's a lot of youngsters.
There are a lot.
Just in this state.
Yes, just in this state. There are a lot of youth in 4-H.
Well, I tell you what, we've got a bunch of callers online. We've had some problems earlier with our phones. I think we've got everything fixed now. But the mission, you know, the mission has that mission changed much over the years? I mean, the things that people do have changed, but has the mission changed much?
The mission, you know, as with other UW Cooperative Extension programs, is to bring the resources of the university to the people. And so 4-H is a great opportunity to have the youth be involved and get plugged into the resources of the university, but have fun and learn while they're doing everything and learn valuable life skills. So they, especially with being a camp counselor, being an officer in a 4-H club, learning about planning and leadership, learning things that are going to help them for the rest of their lives and prepare them for whatever their life may bring after they leave high school. So if it's college or if it's the workforce, there are so many stories out there. My husband became a chef just because when he was in 4-H, he went to the county fair and got encouraged by one of the county fair judges in the food section and said, wow, you make some really good stuff. And so that may have not been the exact turning point, but I know he does say that is one of the reasons where he got into the culinary field was because of this experience in 4-H. And
well, I'll tell you what, we'll hear some more experiences and we'll take your calls. We're going to take a quick look at the news and weather, and then we'll be right back with Jessica Jens, Katrina Putman, and Sally Turpin here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Taking a look at 4-H and youth development, what's going on in that area today? Larry Mueller here with my three guests in the studio, Jessica Jens, newly appointed director of Upham Woods, and a couple of alumnus of 4-H. Katrina Putman is a Columbia County alumnus, and Sally Turpin is an alum from Vernon County, and you're both students now at the UW-Madison.
Yes, I'm a sophomore here.
And boy, Sally, you're ready to get out.
Yeah, 4.5 years is enough, I think. And two majors.
So, yeah, agronomy and
animal science,
and you're majoring in?
Hopefully finance. I have to apply to the School of Business, but then I want to go on to law school.
All right. So, well, maybe just I'll ask you, Sally, how did 4-H help you in terms of what you're doing now?
Well, I actually grew up on my family's dairy farm, and I found 4-H to be a really great way to meet a lot of new people and just a good way to see what else is out there, and going on some of those trips, kind of just expanding your horizons a little bit. And I actually did get to come down here to Madison for the trip that you mentioned earlier, state conference, and so that was kind of neat getting to see
the
campus and everything. Yep. And just experiences being a camp counselor, you learn a lot of leadership skills, or I was actually president of my club also. All those things broaden your horizons and, yeah, teach you leadership and what else out there.
Well, Randall at Black River Falls has a comment. He's been waiting a while. Randall, hi. Thank you for calling.
Thank you very much for taking my call. I'm the 4-H outreach coordinator for Jackson County, and I just had a general question for your guests. If they had any suggestions about how to get the message of different 4-H programs out to the community to hopefully recruit and get more people involved in 4-H programs.
And you're in Jackson County?
Oh. Yes, Jackson County.
All right. Thanks for calling, Randall. Well, I'll tell you what. Jessica, what do you think?
Well, Randall called with a very good question, because I think sometimes Wisconsin 4-H can be known as a best-kept secret, which is not something we necessarily want, because when you talk to youth and adults who have been involved in 4-H, you almost always get very, very positive stories about that. So my suggestion is what I have found when I was in Sauk County as a 4-H youth development agent. The clubs who had the biggest enrollment increases, it was all about the kids going out and recruiting their friends and showing them what a great time it is. And that's also, I mean, that's easier said than done sometimes, but it's really the best way. There's always different marketing techniques that you can use, but really it's about the youth recruiting their friends and being the best proponents of the program.
Katrina, you're shaking your head yes on that?
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely a way that I know from experience our club recruited new members, is we had different events around the community. I would say word of mouth is definitely the best way to recruit members, because the enthusiasm of the current members is infectious sometimes. But we have a local fair, and our club puts on Farmer for a Day, and it's just sort of a booth that teaches kids about 4-H and about local farms and the way they work. And also another aspect of our club, we have Bring a Friend Days, and some of the younger members bring their friends, and then their friends become interested in 4-H and learn of the different programs by attending a meeting. And so I think that's definitely a good way for students to become involved in 4-H, because once you attend a meeting and once you are there just a couple of times, you definitely want to become involved.
Great tips. Thanks, Randall, for calling. I want to give Mary Ann in Waukesha a chance to join in. Mary Ann, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hi. I just wanted to tell about how 4-H kind of saved our rabbit's life. We adopted a free rabbit, and it turned out to be a poor pet because it didn't like to be petted. It bit the buttons right off your clothes when you held it.
Yeah.
And then we heard about the 4-H Rabbit Hopping Project. And for the Rabbit Hopping Project, they can have mixed breed or neutered rabbits, and they roll out a rug roller and set up little hurdles for the rabbits to jump over. They put leashes and harnesses on the rabbits, and then they run along, and it looks just like a horse steeplechase.
Only with rabbits.
Anyway, our rabbit turned out to be the champion of the rabbit hoppers the first year. So after that, there was no doubt that we were going to get rid of this rabbit, and we got to like the rabbit a lot better. And they also took the rabbit to their school and demonstrated this with some little hurdles, and that introduced some of the school kids to 4-H, too.
Well, that's a great story, Marianne. Thank you so much for calling. That's a nice story.
That was a wonderful story, and it also illustrates how 4-H has so much to offer any youth. And if it's rabbit hurdle jumping, or if it's photography or anything, what I liked about that story, too, is that she talked about how then her child took that rabbit to school and showed all of the classmates. And what a great opportunity to also be able to stand in front of someone and give demonstrations or do that public speaking. That is such a key component of the 4-H experience. And we have so many stories about youth being shy when they first started, and then when they graduate the program, being able to stand in front of a group of 100 or 200 people and give a talk about their time in 4-H. And so that's really great.
Well, I know it helped me. I mean, it was something that obviously having to get up in front of people and talk was a good practice for where I wound up.
Yes, definitely.
I'd just like to add to what Jessica was saying there. With the public speaking, I know at our meetings, every member had to do a demonstration once a year, and just doing some of the contests, and that really helps you out down the road if you do forensics or, I mean, in classes and things in the real world, you have to give presentations, and that's very important.
Mary in Wauwatosa, we'll turn to you. Hi, Mary.
Hi. Some of my favorite memories of 4-H are at Upham Woods, and I was thinking, I was a 4-H person between 1959 and 1968, and Norm Robble from Jefferson County was our extension man, and did such a great job. job. And I remember winter camp, especially at Upham. I learned to snowshoe there. But you're talking about public speaking. And there was a poster and speech contest every year. And my parents were general leaders. And we always had to participate just to get the other members going. I have no fear of standing up in front of a crowd now and talking. And it's a definite result of being a 4-H person.
Oh, thanks, Mary, for calling. Appreciate your call. And Linda may have something from Egg Harbor, may have something that kind of goes along with that. So let's just go to Linda. Linda, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. And, you know, I certainly appreciate all the wonderful things that 4-H has to offer. And my question might come in contrast to some of these things. But there was a guest on NPR not too long ago that wrote a book, Bat Sing, Mice Giggle. And the idea was about ways that animals are sentient beings and have emotionality and intelligence, et cetera, et cetera. And I just wondered, in terms of what your guests might say, how 4-H tends to foster within children the notion that animals are simply livestock. For example, I went to the county fair a few years ago, and I wandered into the livestock barn, and there were a bunch of 4-H kids there who had raised bottle baby lambs, and, of course, they were all going to auction and slaughter the next day. And when I discovered that, you know, I asked them, I said, well, how does that feel to you to raise something and with compassion and empathy and only to have it sent off to slaughter? And one of the teenage girls who had been in 4-H for many years said to me, well, when I was younger, I used to cry desperately. I was hysterical, and I couldn't sleep for weeks. But then over the years, I got hardened, and now it's just easy to do. And I wonder, is that really the type of life skills and values that we want to instill in our youth?
All right. Well, let's see what we've got to say about what our guests have to say about that. Let's turn to Sally first.
Well, I mean,
I think I can come in here a little bit for Sally. I will definitely say that in 4-H we focus on all kinds of life skill development. And Sally is one of our 4-H members who feels very strongly about this, because she has been in that role, and she has been grew up in a farm family, and there are a lot of things that we can learn about raising farm animals. So she's going to come in now, I think.
Well, I guess what I'd like to say is, well, growing up on a farm, one of the things you learn is how to take care of animals properly, and that you do need to treat them with respect and treat them decently. And I think that's something that 4-H, you know, I think that's what 4-H instills. Are they livestock? Yes. And if you're looking at the bigger picture, do they go to market? Do we use those for meat products? Yes. But, you know, I think 4-H really tries to foster the image of taking care of those animals and doing a good job of that.
Yeah. Right. And I think that 4-H is more than that. It's not only livestock that are the animal projects in 4-H. I was in Horse Project. And, I mean, 4-H as a whole teaches you really to, it teaches you responsibility and to learn to care for the animals that are yours, because it really is a connection that you develop, because you really grow up with the other students that you're with in your 4-H project, and you learn a lot of things taking care of an animal. And I think that's just, regardless of whether or not some of those animals are livestock, just raising an animal teaches you a lot of life skills.
Yeah. And I think at least what I've observed, and maybe Jessica, you could comment, I think one of the things it does teach is respect. Respect for other people and respect for animals.
Definitely. That's always a theme that goes through 4-H. Respect for everything around us. Respect for the environment, taking care of that. Respect for your fellow club members, making sure everyone feels that they belong in the 4-H club. And respect for the animals that you're caring for. There is a lot of training that goes on within the 4-H livestock animal projects about ethically treating your animals, how to care for them properly, all of that. There's an entire program, a quality assurance program based on that. So it's something that everyone takes very seriously.
Let's turn to Luke. Thanks for calling, Linda. Let's turn to Luke in Wausau next. Hi, Luke. Thank you for calling.
Hi, Larry.
What's on your mind?
Well, I'm just calling to share my story about how I met my wife at Upham Woods through 4-H. And Jessica knows what I'm talking about. Hi, Jessica.
Hi, Luke. How are you doing?
Good. So when I was a camper at Upham Woods, Jessica was my assistant director under Tim Talon, my dad. So we go way back. Jessica boarded her horse at our farm, and I've been at 4-H my whole life. So anyway, my future wife and I lived about a mile away from each other at rival high schools and rival schools. And we didn't get to see each other that often, but when we did, it was through 4-H. And mostly it was at Upham Woods. And I think one of the most important things about 4-H is that it forges relationships with your fellow members that pretty much last the rest of your life. The friends that I made through 4-H are the friends that I'm going to keep for my life. And I met Lisa. She was 2 years older, so she was kind of, you know, out of my league.
An older woman.
An older woman, yes. And she dated my brother for a little bit. Okay, yeah. So anyway, so there was kind of that, and I just was like, wow, she's a special person. I mean, my brother thinks she's this great person. She must be amazing. So anyway, we both graduated. She went to Eau Claire. I went to Stevens Point. We didn't get to see each other that often, but we'd like to chat and all these things. And then in 2007, unfortunately, my brother did pass away. But it was at that point when I was like, I can't let Lisa get away from me. I can't live without letting her know how I feel. And there was one person in the world I wanted to see more than anyone at that point in my life, and I wanted to see her. And when I saw her, and I knew, I was like, I need to, I'm going to marry her. How can I make this as special as I can? And we met at Upham Woods. And I thought, there's a place in Upham Woods. It's called Sunset Rock. And it's like this kind of enigma at the end of camp. It's a big rock. It's gorgeous. You can watch the sunset. It's kind of got this mystical quality to it. And I thought, what better place to propose than to just go to Sunset Rock, get down on one knee, and ask her to marry me. And that's what I did, and I'm the luckiest guy ever.
Well, that's quite a story, Jessica.
That's a wonderful story. And actually, Sunset Rock, for those people out there who have had experiences up in woods, is a very special place. And we've had weddings out at Sunset Rock, primarily in the 60s and 70s. There were lots of hippie weddings out there that I've been told. We've had many people propose out at Sunset Rock just because up in woods is such a special place. And that just continues the legacy for us. So I'm very happy. Luke, congratulations. And I'm very happy that you called in and shared that story with us.
Thanks, Luke. Thanks for calling. I want to give Margaret and Rhinelander a chance. Margaret, hi.
Hi. I'm really enjoying this program, which I enjoy a lot of your programs. I never got to go to Upham Woods, but I was very active in 4-H. My father wanted us to be in 4-H, so he started a chapter up in Clark County near Chile, Wisconsin. And at one point in the late 1940s, we had 71 members, and I think it was considered one of the largest clubs in the state. I didn't really want to move to the farm in the mid-40s from Milwaukee, so I wasn't a happy farmer camper. But one year I took a Holstein calf, and, of course, what does that do? It says you're a farmer. I have since... I've done a lot of things. I sewed in 4-H, and I sew a lot now. I cooked in 4-H, and I love to cook now. I was going to be a county home agent at one point, but didn't do that. But 4-H was very important in our family and in our community. And like this young gentleman said, a lot of people met their spouses through 4-H. So I have nothing, but I'm sorry I never got to Upham Woods. I can go there and see what it's all about.
You'll have to come down someday.
There is a actually a fundraising campaign for Upham Woods, is there not?
Yeah, we are just beginning the process of starting what we're calling the Legacy Campaign to continue the legacy that the Upham Woods sisters began by donating the land to the University of Wisconsin. The facilities, which Jeff alluded to at the very beginning of the broadcast, are becoming aging. We do our best to keep them up, but they just aren't really meeting the needs of our clientele anymore. So we are starting a campaign, a rather large one, a $4 million campaign to upgrade many of our facilities so they're accessible to all people, that they can teach about the environment and sustainability. So we are doing that, and we're very, very excited. That's for sure. Another campaign that we are kind of starting separately, but it has to do with this show, too, is we're trying to gather as many stories as we possibly can from out there of people who have come to Upham Woods. So we certainly encourage you, if you have stories and aren't able to get on today, to send me an email. Going back to that website I said, there's a link on there of how to do that. We would like to record the history of Upham Woods through people's stories, because there are so many out there.
So, boy, even the people who phoned in today, if you want to, with your experiences, if you want to go to that website, and I would bet if you just typed in Upham Woods Camp, 4-H Camp Upham Woods in a search engine, yes, it's just going to pop right up.
Yeah, there's no other Upham Woods is out there. So you Google Upham Woods, and you'll either get to this blog site that we have, or you'll get to our main website, and there's a link right there on the front page about the Legacy Campaign and about how to support Upham Woods and how to and follow that, and it'll tell you how to share your stories with us as well.
Let's go to Sally in Wayland, Minnesota. Hi, Sally. Thank you for calling.
Hello, Larry, and hello to your terrific guests. Hello, Sally. I'm reacting to the previous caller who questioned sensitizing children to the slaughter of animals. I'm really glad that 4-H is there to teach our children in this meat-eating world, teaching children to care for animals and therefore the planet in a moral way. I personally don't mind eating animals, especially if they've had a happy, albeit short, life. I wish more children, all children, had 4-H. So thank you very much.
Oh.
I'd just like to comment that I actually work in the meat lab here on campus, too, and so I, you know, have seen the whole process with everything, and I think it's important to know how that works. If you're, you know, if you're in 4-H, you're working with the animals, that's very important to, like you said, raise them properly and respect them, and I think education is a good thing.
Thank you, Sally, for calling. I appreciate that call. And I want to give Melissa and Kiwani a chance here. Melissa, hi. Thank you for calling.
Yeah. I just wanted to mention in Kiwani that through the UW Extension, we're pairing with the literacy program and then offering the children 4-H to help grow our 4-H programs. So that might be an idea for the gentleman that was wanting to grow 4-H.
All right. The literacy program. Are you familiar with programs like that, Jessica?
Yeah. I've heard there's all kinds of great programs like that that are partnering with organizations throughout Wisconsin through our county extension offices. And so that is an excellent suggestion, because lots of times we're able to offer 4-H to populations of youth who don't necessarily maybe can participate in the community traditional programs. So those partnerships like after school are a great, great way to get youth involved in our program.
And we mentioned quite a few of the types of projects and programs. There are a whole lot more that, frankly, that we could talk about as well. Katrina, any more come to mind to you?
Well, I personally was in Horse Project. I had friends who were involved in projects like we have a foods project, and they focus a lot on cooking and developing skills like that. I know there were such projects like, I think there were astronomy, maybe, and then there was, I think there was a rocket ship project. We had kids doing demonstrations again in our club about making small rockets, and there were photography, all kinds of livestock, and also such projects like there was knitting and sewing, things like that, just anything.
pretty broad range of topics, but almost whatever you can think of.
Yeah,
whatever you can think of. We in Sauk County, we had the rock climbing project, the astronomy project. There's also more and more 4-H'ers are getting involved in science and technology projects. And arts and communication projects as well. I was in juggling when I was a 4-H member. I'm still working on that, mind you, but I was in juggling. Kids doing drama performances on the stage, musicals.
Drama was big in our club, too.
Ours, too.
So lots there, and I want to thank all three of you for coming by and talking with us about it. And if you're interested in learning more about Upham Woods, frankly, just put in your search engine Upham Woods, and it's going to pop up. If you're interested in maybe getting more involved in 4-H, UW Extension 4-H.
Yep, contact your local UW Extension office.
Thank you. Thank the three of you so much for being with us.
Thank you for having us.
Appreciate it very much. Jessica Jens, newly appointed director of Upham Woods, Katrina Putman, and Sally Turpin. Katrina is from Columbia County, and Sally is from Vernon County, both now UW-Madison students. And it was great to talk with them about 4-H. Just to let you know, tomorrow we'll talk Apple computers with Joe Rhodes. Thanks for listening. Stay with us on the Ideas Network.